Welcome to another episode of the Evolution Exchange podcast. Today I'm joined with Rudy and Andre from Asset Abloy, and we're here to talk about what it's like here at Asset Abloy, but also about digital accessibility. As usual, we'll start off with some introductions. Rudy, would you like to go first?
Yes, of course. So my name is Rudy Bortolini. I'm Global Head of UX here at Asset Abloy. I've been in the company for 7 years. I'm actually managing a small central team, which Andre is also part of. And my background is around design. I've been into many multinational companies around design for many years. And this is who I am, Andre.
Yeah, hello, everyone. My name is Andre. I'm a lead UX designer at the group center of Asset Abloy, based in Stockholm, a part of the team led by Rudy. I support the team with strategic activities and also various operations in the projects when it comes to UX design, research, and operations in general.
Perfect.
Hi, everyone. This is Chris Bennett here, the Nordics Managing Director here at Evolution. We're committed to doing recruitment in a different way that adds value to both our clients and candidates by providing you with amazing speakers and leading edge discussions on what's going on in the tech scene at the moment. There are 3 reasons why you should contact me. If you would like to speak on a future podcast, if you are interested in hiring awesome tech, data, product or gaming freelancers for your business, or if you are looking for an exciting new organization to work with, please get in touch. Thank you so much for listening, and I really hope to hear from you soon. Please enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Well, I've pre-prepared some questions to ask both of you today. So my first one is focused on, could you give me a bit of an introduction to what it's like to be a designer at Asset Abloy?
Maybe I can start because I started here before. But I think it's a very interesting field we are in. So this company is mostly working with security and safety, which is, to a large extent, the way we approach it is made out of artifact, that being physical or digital. But for our user and the way they perceive it is mostly about feelings, really. I mean, what does it feel to be secure? How does it feel to feel safe and so on? So that is mostly what we work with. We are not so many designers compared to the size of the company. So I think we are early in the journey of maturity when it comes to UX. At the same side, the company is extremely big and also grows a lot by acquisition. So the business is changing over time, is expanding into new areas. For sure, we are more and more moving toward digital, from physical product to digital product. I mean, we are still in that journey with some edge of like biometrics or like fully digital as well. And I think, I mean, how it is for a designer to work in this company is very challenging. Let's put it like this. It is very challenging for sure. There is a lot to do, but there is also a lot of responsibility that we are accounted for, which is very, very interesting. So we can lead our path, I feel, and we can control our evolution, which is nice to be in, I will say. Andre, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I can speak about this perception of being a designer at the group center from the perception of a person who is based at the headquarter and has a very close connection to the leadership, which is very beneficial for us designers. We also are part of the CX organization, the customer experience organization, and the communication at the group. That means that we have access to the knowledge about our customers from the high level. We have an overview about the customer journey and what needs to be improved to meet the needs and expectations of the customers and the end users of the digital products that we curate. As Rudy said, since we are a very large and global company, we need to consider the business need of, let's say, about of 200 brands in different regions, different business units, and therefore being able to also deal with complexity, different viewpoints, being able to understand the needs and expectations from different disciplines and different functions at our group. And being a good designer at our group also means being a good facilitator and a good communicator, to be able to also establish best practices to meet the business needs.
Exactly. Maybe I can just build on what you just said. And it's very true that for the size of our team and for the size of the entire team in Asabloy, being a good designer here is not only being a good designer in the field or having a lot of expertise in the design fields, but it's very much about, you know, managing stakeholders and making and dealing with politics, really, right? I mean, helping the management to understand the importance of what we do and the importance and the impact of what we do will have in the customer life and user's life, which is at the end of the day, what we want to impact the most.
Perfect. I think that was a brilliant answer. I liked that you went into how the customer gets value from the designers, but also the value you get from being a designer here at Asabloy. It's really, really interesting answer. Perfect. So to move on to a little bit more about our main focus for today, could you give me a bit of an introduction into digital accessibility and why it's important for Asabloy?
Yeah, of course. And this is a very interesting topic. As maybe we speak before this interview, is something quite new to us in the sense that we have a lot of digital touch points, right? And accessibility means different things for different people in different markets as well. So it was quite interesting and revealing for us to understand lately, how do we refer to that, right? What language do we speak with our management when we talk about digital accessibility? I think in a one-liner, I would say for us, it means that society has and is made out of a lot of people, and different people has a lot of needs, right? And some of those needs are actually around accessibility, different impediment of some sort, permanent or, you know, situational impediment. And we want those customers to be our customers, and we want those users to be part of our journey. That is what it means for us to a large extent. What do you say?
Indeed. I would also like to highlight the definition of accessibility in the context of Asabloy, when the keyword of accessibility is access, and access is the core business of this company from the very early days. Asabloy Group is known for being a leader in creating accessible solutions in all types of businesses and industries. And traditionally, a company who's been creating hardware access solutions. So accessibility is kind of native to the core values and the business of Asabloy. Although in the digital context, it's been overlooked. Although we noticed some individual efforts when it comes to digital accessibility in the UX function as well. So we had that practice already ongoing and explored, although not in a large scale globally. So when we started to work on the group UX strategy, it was a year ago, we started by identifying the current maturity level overall in the UX function. And also when it comes to the four pillars of the strategy, which are design option and ops and UX research, UI design, and digital accessibility. So this is where we started to focus more on this topic and explore, let's say, the state of art of this area in our organization.
And I think this sits also very well into some sort of a line with two extremes. And one extreme is about what do we want to be in terms of brands and in terms of reputation, in terms of company. So how much do we want to allow to everyone to be a customer of us? And then the other extreme of that line being regulation. So digital accessibility is actually going to be mandatory to a large extent from June 28th, 2025, right? So there is an horizon that we're moving toward where by legislation, you know, most companies, especially when it comes to public facing digital solution, will have to be comply to certain standards, right? So we are in that journey. We have started that journey internally. And we are also, again, asking our branding specialist and our branding management to understand who do we want to be, right? I mean, how do we enable everyone to be part of our world? Because as you were saying, Andre, I mean, our company is primarily B2B, right? It's 300 company, 200 brands, and we go by acquisition. It means that basically some of the users are not the customers. It means that when you are in an airport and you have to access something, that being information or an access point or an emergency exit, et cetera, you will be facilitating that operation via us and via the customers, right? So we are responsible for the safety through accessibility of many, many millions of people. So it is definitely a hot topic for us.
And that's such a huge thing to kind of help people through that. So something's not as easy for you that somebody else has thought about it, to make it easier and to kind of guide you through that. So it's definitely, it's a great thing that, you know, you guys are focusing on and want to speak about. It kind of moves us on quite nicely to the next question, which is, how has Astro Bloy incorporated digital accessibility into your development process?
I would say this has started in some areas. I mean, again, this company being so big and being composed by many components, that being, you know, different teams and different brands, etc., it means that we do things most likely ad hoc, right? So, I mean, into some of our biggest, for example, solution that we have for non-transactional side, where you will most likely will go to get information about our company and our brands, because that is pretty new, the way we have been approaching it is using some of the tools. That means that accessibility is also a one-to-one when it comes to SEO ranking, right? I mean, Google, together with different attributes, is also controlling how accessible some of the sites are to actually be good performing in SEO. So because of that, we've been looking to some tools, that being Lighthouse, for example, recently in the last years, to make sure that at least the basics are there. And when we refer to basic of accessibility is what most people is aware of, that being color and contrast, for example, type size and scalability for mobile solution to like desktop solutions, etc. So I would say in different way, in different areas. That has been the way that we've been working so far. For sure, the challenge moving forward to be able to do it at scale with a good framework based on reliable understanding of the regulation.
Indeed. And I would also like to add that in parallel, besides the implementation of the accessibility in the process, we are still identifying the external compliance to be, let's say, to meet conformance with the existing and upcoming external compliance regulations. One of them, Rudy has mentioned, the upcoming EU Accessibility Act. Plus, since we are a global company, we also want to make sure that we are compliant with the policies in other regions as well. And most likely, they will rely and reference to the compliance with the WCAG 2.2 guidelines. And as already been told, the accessibility needs to be considered at the business culture level as well. So it requires creation of the culture, awareness of the leadership of the stakeholders from different functions, for them to be onboarded to include accessibility in the requirements of the design of the new digital products. That is required, is needed to let's say, to move forward to meet the goals by different stakeholders of the organization. So it should not be only driven by the UX function, right? And to create this business culture, it requires creating this awareness about not only meeting accessibility for people with disabilities, who are about 16% worldwide. So those are people with permanent disability, but also to meet the needs of people with temporary disability and also situational disability, right? Those are all of us. So all of us can be, in a certain point in time, being disabled when we commute, when we get sick, for instance, so that we can use digital products with different modalities with easy access. So this is our goal, to foster the culture of accessibility, to include the requirements in the design of new digital products, so that in the process of design, all stakeholders should consider and be aware about the need to meet those standards.
And I think if I can add on that, specifically on the number you were referring to, Andre, is that, yes, it is that 66% of the population that we see as typically to be impeded into be able to access different senses. I think we can call it like this, right? Mm-hmm. But as you say, the temporary disability is really all of us. I mean, it can be easily 25% of the population, and that's a huge amount of people. And it will happen. It has happened through the life of everyone in different stages, right? I mean, from young to old, to having children or not, to be situationally impeded, et cetera, et cetera. So when it comes to number, I think it's an extremely relevant number. All those 5 or 25%, you know, of the population out there will have to access their bank accounts, will have to enter a shop, will have to live a normal life, right? So it's an extremely big and overlooked, I would say, topic yet. And also another point when it comes to number, also maybe to mention it for all of you out there, is that when we talk about regulation and reason being so complex, especially when you run operation globally as we do, we refer to like not only the most known standards, 508 in America, NDA in the US again, and the European Act, but we refer at least from our early knowledge into 13 at least different regulations. So it is very complex, I would say, and I expect that also many of you listening, if you're working in an enterprise, I mean, you will have similar questions about which one and when and how do you work with that?
In fact, the challenge of implementing the accessibility guidelines in our process is due to this complexity of those guidelines, the nature of those guidelines, because they have dozens of principles and dozens of criteria of conformance. Plus, the WCAG 2.2 guidelines have three different levels of conformance, such as single A, double A, and triple A. And that requires also the definition of the company of its own ambition level and its own standards, right? Whether the company decides to meet a goal of a double A or of a triple A. So it's up to the company to decide on this ambition and the goal, right? And then to create this framework and the assessment practice to meet those standards. So we are currently in the journey of building this framework and the practice to how first create the requirements for designing and also the practice, the way of working of assessing, measuring the conformance and compliance with those regulations.
It's definitely so interesting. I know before we hit record, Rudy, you were saying that looking at your phone while there's like a sound going on, you're not listening to the sound. Yeah. So when you were saying about this percentage of people affected by this, it really is everyone at some form
yes,
of their life or their day.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it happened even multiple times a day. We were also discussing about, for example, the bus, right? Or if you are in public transportation and you need to rely into some sounds or some haptic notification, you will not notice it. This is what we mean. Or if you are under a direct sun with your phone, you'd be most likely not to be able to read a badly designed website. And when we go back into like, there are some optional experiences you might want to consume throughout your day, but there are some core experiences you should be able to consume during your day. You're accessing, you know, public transportation information and timing, for example, for someone is very important. Or again, accessing your bank, for that matter, it is very important.
Yeah, indeed. Accessible design implies inclusiveness and empathy, considering all type of users with abilities and disabilities. Making sure that we create design for people to have easy access to information. It's a kind of usability which requires extra empathy and extra focus on people with all kind of abilities and disabilities. And therefore it requires building best practices for the specific meeting specific goals, as I mentioned. And as Rudy also referred to, the use of different tools, for instance, such as Google Lighthouse, We have also tested the use of Wave application to assess the accessibility, which also provides some suggestions on what needs to be improved and how. For instance, some tools that provide both quantitative and qualitative data and insights for designers. It also requires use of tools that can be used by developers as well, because we designers don't work in isolation, right? In the process of design of new digital products, we need to be able to collaborate and understand the tools and way of working of other functions as well, to make sure that we create a design and test the new products in a good way, considering best practices.
Perfect. And that brings me on to my next question, Andre, of what, you know, you've recently started out on this, you have kind of the guidelines of the EU, but there's so many other sets of guidelines you want to kind of hit and reach. What lessons have you kind of learned so far in this journey that have become a barrier or a challenge to help you achieve these?
I think we can start by talking about two, I would say. So first of all, is the level of sensitivity and knowledge that different management level or different designers for that matter has in the company. And that can vary a lot, right? Because as Andrew was saying, the digital accessibility for us start with the requirements. So the ambition for a product to be able to deliver accessible solution, then it goes into designing an accessible solution, then building an accessible solution. That requires that all the three or multiple party are in line with ambition and are in line with the framework and tools and regulation, right? So back to your point about, you know, what are the most difficult miles to overcome is for sure context and the regulation. So what I was referring before when saying that there are several is that it seems to be the very little expertise is out there into like how they are interconnected and how they are supposed to be interpreted, right? This is something we have found in the last month talking with a lot of experts. It seems that the expertise is not ready for this to come, you know, in a global way. The second part is about making sure that, you know, at all level, someone will be able to act on this, because it's easier said than done, right? It's not because we say that we will have to be compliant to something that things will happen. We need to make it happen. That will require, you know, a framework, an approach and tools. And also the questions, which is even a more profound and maybe larger questions about where. Now, it seems that, you know, most of the requirement will be around public facing solution, but we also have business with governments, for example, that do provide public facing solution for their, you know, for their users. So we're still in the jungle of understanding which of our touch point, and there are many, it could be apps, it could be software, transactional side, non-transactional side, API, etc., are supposed to be aligned to what? So that is, I would say, the two challenges I see for now.
Yes, in fact, I can also add some other, challenges based on our experience and observations that are first related with awareness, making the stakeholders and the leadership aware about why do we need to invest in digital accessibility. And usually a good argument is to highlight the cost of non-compliance and doing nothing about that. What if we just don't do anything about it, right? Just leave it as it is.
And a note on that, because I think this is something we've been discussing quite a lot in the last weeks. It seems to be that up to 4% of the year revenue can be fined for a company when providing a non-accessible solution, wow, public facing. Initially, we thought, and most likely would be, you know, fine, specific or fine, you know, but it's up to 4% of the annual revenue, which is an immense amount of money. So that is not clear either.
Exactly. So the first consequence is a legal action, right? If the company doesn't comply with the existing and upcoming policies. Second one is the financial penalties related with the legal action, which brings the damage to reputation of the company with the customers and also the shareholders, plus the loss of brand reputation and loss of opportunities, right? Such as investment and also
partnership,
the retention of the partners. So this is the business case, is a clear business case and argument that we can use when we convey this message. And in addition to that, it's also important to, as we said, to identify the internal ambition.
Blend.
It's important to build a business case when it comes to investment in digital accessibility. For instance, investing in a project within e-commerce is a very straightforward case when we can justify certain investment, for instance, $50,000 to save $500 in the revenue could be, let's say, a first pilot for a company to convince leadership to invest in digital accessibility.
There was also an interesting case. I remember we've been discussing with some of these partners. We're discussing because, of course, one point of discussion is about how do we make management sensitive about, especially when it comes to, like, you know, scaling up the operation around it, because it will be very costly, right? And so some of these partners came to us with a very interesting case. They were working with a bank, right? And in order to make sure that the management understood both the potential but also the danger of not delivering accessibility, they ran a usability test with a person that was impeded, you know, from the vision. So she was a blind person, right? And the idea is that they gave her an iPad and they said, okay, now access your bank account. And she was not able to do it. She started to cry as well. And she at some point gave up and said, I'm lucky enough, I have another bank, right? I have another account with another bank. And that was enough for the manager to understand that, again, 5%, 25%, whatever, is still customer. They will have to access the word. Right. If they will do it via you, they will. Otherwise, they will do via others. So it's a huge missed opportunity.
Exactly. It's about, again, ensuring that we provide access to information to all type of users, and that accessibility is included in different modalities of user interfaces, not only visual like websites and mobile applications, but also considering the other modalities, input and output for the user, such as sound, touch,
screen readers.
Exactly. To provide this augmented capability to meet their abilities or disabilities to interact with our digital touch points.
That brings on quite nicely onto the next question that I prepared, which is, how are you collaborating with the stakeholders, the clients that you work with, to kind of help them with their digital accessibility and them to see the importance?
And that is maybe an interesting point related to what we said before, right? Our first challenge here is to try to understand the regulation in order to create a language, you know, and making sure that that language does represent the challenge, not from our point of view, from Hasselblad point of view, but from what we are supposed as a society to strive forward, right? Once we have that, I think our next steps will be to actually keep on discussing with our partner, that being many, in many shape and form, the direct resellers, we go direct to consumers in some cases, we work with the institution, banking, so you name it, right? And try to sit down with them and actually see if they see the picture as we see, if they have the knowledge that we want to bring on the table, and most likely to actually drive a path toward, even considering that most of the challenges will be for us in terms of, like, us providing them accessible solution, right? But also to make sure that they are able to include those accessible solutions in their offering. For example, when we talk about SDK or, you know, code that you reuse into your solution to actually, as a provider, to provide to your clients, we need to make sure that we provide something that is fully accessible out of the box, but we need to make sure that they actually keep and protect it and implement it in a way that then is accessible for their own channels and their own business as well.
Yes, and to meet a common goal when it comes to the organization, first of all, we need to agree on the standards we want to conform with. And secondly, to have a common document with requirements to be used as objective document that we all can use when we first discuss what we want to create. And then when we create, let's say, a design concept, we use a document of those requirements as objective source, as something that help us to review a new design, to see whether the new design complies with the regulations, right? With those basic requirements. It also requires to agree on the way of working in this cross-functional setup to understand who is responsible for what during the process. When it comes to design, UX research, UX, UI design, and also the collaboration with development. And that needs to be also driven by the product managers and product owners. So we believe that the product management needs to be a very strong advocate when it comes to digital accessibility. So it should be not only driven by the UX design. Naturally, we are the advocates of the end users, but we also believe that the product owners and the product management needs to be, they have to be the advocates of this initiative as well.
I like that you're the advocates of the end user, because I guess your role's mostly that's your biggest point of view in your doing everything. That's brilliant. And then going on to our final question. So, I mean, this has been a really insightful conversation, learning about what this is and how it's actually impacting so many people around the world, and we're so unaware of it. But what is kind of coming up for AstroBloy in the future? What is next with your digital accessibility vision? And how are you going to make your customers more inclusive or help them to become more inclusive?
I think there are two sides of that, and maybe with a caveat, so maybe 2.5 side of that. One was just a spontaneous reflection I had meanwhile you were asking the question, would be, we really wish the non-competitive enterprise and companies could get together to discuss the topic at hand, right? Mm-hmm. Because this is an extremely complex topic. It's going to empower everyone to do a better job and serve better their customers. And we're still all delivering to users, right? So I think a common forum into how do we, as a different player in different field, will go about it for a better society, I think is something also for us to be able to drive, right? The other part that you were saying is that next in line for us is for sure, advocate with top management about the opportunities and the risk, because they are both there. We know that the risks are there, but there is an enormous opportunity to do the right thing at the right time, even when nobody is watching. That's the definition between just complying or being better, right? And the other part will be for sure, making sure that we build the infrastructure internally to be able to scale this up. And it won't happen overnight. Again, it's a very, very complex topic. As you said, the guidelines by themselves are very, very tedious and quite complex. And it touches upon so many of the different stakeholders and areas of a company. So I think for us, the next challenge will be to sensitize with the top management to make sure that they see the importance as we see it and create the baseline and the framework for the operation to be able to achieve on that.
Yes, indeed. We started with, bottom-up approach to foster the leadership with the importance to invest in the digital accessibility, and plan to continue to onboard the stakeholders and the leaders of the divisions and business units to have this in the top of the agenda. To pay attention to this topic and invest in digital accessibility. Secondly, we focus on creating the way of working and the process when it comes to establishment of the requirements and the way to assess and track the accessibility criteria and metrics in the projects. That requires the use of tools that allow us to automate the assessment process. Due to complexity of the guidelines and the policies, we would like to make this process more automated to reduce the manual work, to reduce time and cognitive effort, of course, because we people make mistakes. And so the tools can help us, the AI-based tool as well, to automate the process. For different purposes, when we evaluate existing products, right, or we evaluate new design concepts, let's say in Figma application, that requires different tools and extensions for different purposes. And then how to make this process scalable? This is also a challenge that we work on. One thing is to create a pilot, to create a business case in one location. Another case is to make it scalable, right? To onboard different units and divisions globally to use this framework. Perfect. And this is the journey we are in right now and what we plan ahead of us as well.
Yeah, and for sure is the journey that most of you out there will be in or are in already. This is what I was referring before when saying, I wish we could come much closer, you know, even within different companies to look at the, again, a huge opportunity for the society of tomorrow.
Definitely. And maybe it's something we can kind of extend this episode to be, is getting other companies to kind of speak about their journey within this topic. It's so interesting and it's something I think is so relevant and something that I think we all take for granted. We all just assume that, you know, everybody in every walk of life can have that same accessibility as you do. Thank you so much for sharing how passionate Astroploy is on this and how much of a focus it is. It's nice to know, people are thinking of trying to get this better in such passion. Just before we wrap up the podcast, is there anything else that either of you would like to share, to kind of any final thoughts, words of wisdom?
No, maybe just a reflection again. I think there is a need. Most of the people that is driving the European Act, for example, are very well connected to the people and the roles that are involved into forming the guideline. And they take it as how do you drive a society, at least from a European way of viewing things. And then, of course, also US and APAC are adapting to that. I think there should be an equal response into, like, you know, how do company, I'm rephrasing myself here, but how do company actually look together at those regulations? It has happened before, you know, it has happened with GDPR, for example, with few other massive and disruptive challenges that has happened in the past. So I think a self-reflection from the leaders, and in this case, as you were saying, Andre, we speak on the behalf of the users, right? We do have the responsibility of taking the user's voice into what we say. I think this is a responsibility that sits with the UX designers and designers to start with, right? I mean, to create a pool in a space where more, you know, and different companies can get together and discuss a topic that is for all of us. That's my point.
Yes, in fact, as designers who have the core in caring about the humans, we promote human-centered design. And therefore, we also believe that it's a must to have to include the digital accessibility in our way of working as a design function and cross-functional as well. And it's up to us to facilitate and promote the need to invest in digital accessibility, which is not only idealistic aspect, but also there are business opportunities that could be also met while we invest in the digital accessibility. And we are ready to use our creative skills also to meet that need as well.
Perfect. Well, now, thank you so much for your thoughts, your ideas, and telling us about what Astroploy is doing. It's been really interesting. If anyone listening does have any questions, any ideas, please feel free to reach out and we can forward the questions on or get another conversation flowing with this. So it's definitely something that I think will be on a rise till 2025 when the regulation needs to be hit by. So thank you so much.